Today I wanted us to focus on the Word of God. The topic of the Exalting Christ Conference this year was soul care. The focus was on how those of us in the church should go about caring for the souls of those entrusted to us by God. This week, Patty and myself and several other leaders from our church were able to go to that Exalting Christ Conference, and we were blessed by it. Most of the teaching was on biblical counseling, which is entirely different than secular counseling. It is entirely different because biblical counseling involves using the Bible, the Word of God, as the means to help others, no matter what situation they find themselves in. In essence, it is turning to the Creator for help, turning to the instruction book written by Him to His people. What a novel idea. Let's go to God. Let's go to the Creator. Let's seek His help. Biblical counselors and sound Bible teachers believe the Bible to be the inspired Word of God, which it is. And they believe it to be infallible, authoritative, and sufficient for every need, for every situation. Do you believe this to be true? Do you believe that the Bible is the inspired Word of God? Do you believe that it is infallible, never failing? Do you believe that it is authoritative, it has authority over us? Do you believe it to be sufficient for all things pertaining to life and godliness? If so, how then is this seen in your life and in your practice? A recent Barna Research survey revealed that only 5% of Americans consider themselves to be Bible-centered. And Barna defined Bible-centered as interacting with the Bible frequently and it transforming their relationships and shaping their choices. Interacting with the Bible frequently and it transforming their relationships and shaping their choices. 5% of Americans consider themselves to be in that category. And additionally, only 45% of those who considered themselves to be practicing Christians read the Bible once a week or more. Meaning 55% of those who categorize themselves as practicing Christians do not read the Bible at least once a week. That really does not come as a surprise to me. Because there was a time when I would have fit in that category as well. There was a time in my life when I did not realize how important it was for me to be daily hearing from God through His Word. You know, there were people that pray, God, speak to me. And I just picture our Heavenly Father looking down and saying, it's right in front of you. Open. Read. Listen. Hear me. Those who rarely or infrequently spend time in God's Word must not understand our total dependence upon the Word of God. They must not understand that. I did not understand that at one time in my Christian walk. God wants us to know Him. Isn't that amazing? That's an amazing statement. God, the creator of the universe, wants us to know Him. He wants us to love Him. He wants us to obey Him. He wants us to glorify Him. These things are only possible through our exposure to His holy word. It is only through His word that we can know Him. And without knowing Him, we cannot love Him. And it is only through His word that we can know what it means to obey Him. And it is only through His word and through living out His word that we can glorify Him in our lives. Today I want to remind you of five ways in which we are dependent upon God's word. And a sixth way that we must live God's word out. I want to start by looking at a familiar passage that tells us where the scriptures come from and what they are good for. There's only one passage that that could possibly be describing, right? 3:16. Not John 3:16. The other 3:16. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. You should know that passage. Every believer should. Open your Bibles up there to 2 Timothy 3, verses 16 and 17. At the heart of this letter, the last letter written by the Apostle Paul to Timothy, before the Apostle Paul will die for the sake of Christ, he writes these words. All Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be competent, equipped for every good work. I want to break that down just real quickly. So this is what Paul writes. All Scripture is. Note, all Scripture. Old Testament, New Testament. Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, all Scripture is breathed out by God. The Spirit of God moved upon men of God so that they wrote the very Word of God. And it is profitable. It's profitable for teaching us who God is, who we are, what we need, and how we should live. It is profitable for reproof. Reproof is the conviction of sin. Reproof is where it points out to us where we are sinning, where we are not glorifying God. And then it's profitable for correction, for bringing us to repentance and correcting us in those areas that we need to submit to God. It is profitable for training us in righteousness, training us to develop godly thoughts, desires, communication, and lifestyle. The Word of God trains us into how to live as a follower of Christ. And it results in our being equipped, able to do every good work that God calls us to. God equips us through His Word for whatever He calls us to. So I want to focus on our dependence upon God's Word. If we truly believe that it is breathed out for God, it is profitable for all of these reasons, then I believe that will have the effect of motivating us to spend more time in the Word of God. And that's my desire for you. So the first way in which we are dependent upon God's Word is for our salvation. We are saved by God's Word. Romans 10:17 tells us that faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. We cannot be saved without hearing the gospel. That's what Romans 10 tells us. That all who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's a wonderful promise. Amen? But how will they call on him of whom they have not heard? And how will they hear unless someone tell them? Because faith, saving faith, comes by hearing the word of Christ, hearing the gospel. We must know what God has done to provide salvation for us. What he has done through his Son, whom he sent down from heaven to earth. To live the life we could not live. And then die for our sins. Be buried and be raised again the third day. Victorious over sin, over death. We need to hear those words. It is the word of God that God uses to bring about our salvation. Listen to what Peter writes in 1 Peter 1:23. He writes, "You have been born again, not of a seed which is perishable, but imperishable." That is, through the living and abiding word of God. The word of God opens our blind eyes. The word of God shines light on our sinful condition. The word of God drives us to call out for forgiveness and salvation. The word of God propels us to repentance. We are born again through the living and abiding word of God. This is exactly what Paul says to the Romans in Romans 1:16. He writes, "I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." We are absolutely dependent upon the word of God to bring out our being born again from above. And once we have been born again, then we are absolutely dependent upon the word of God for our spiritual nourishment. We are nourished by God's word. This is the second way in which we are dependent upon God's word. Peter describes it this way, 1 Peter 2:2-3. "Like newborn babes, long for the pure milk of the word, that by it you may grow in respect to salvation, if you have tasted the kindness of the Lord." Once we are born, we need nourishment to grow. Once we are born physically, what's the first thing that baby that's born wants? It wants to eat, right? Well, the first thing it wants is air to breathe, right? But once it's breathing, the next thing it wants is nourishment so that it will grow. And once we are born again, we need spiritual nourishment to grow. Our Heavenly Father does not want us to remain as infants in this world. He wants us to grow to maturity. And that requires spiritual feeding. It requires us to be equipped for every good work. And this nourishment, listen to me, this nourishment must be constant. It must be continuous. I look around this room and I would say not many of us in this room go a day without eating. At least not many of us look like we go without eating. We know that to be healthy to be strong, to be able to live the lives that we have to live, we have to take in nourishment. Now, with the exception of fasting for the purposes that God's Word declares, I don't normally go for 24 hours without eating. What about spiritually? Don't we have the same need for spiritual nourishment? Absolutely, if not more so. That's why in his first letter, Timothy wrote these words. Excuse me, Paul wrote these words to Timothy in 1 Timothy 4:6. Paul writes, "You will be a good servant of Christ Jesus, constantly nourished on the words of the faith and of the sound doctrine which you have been following." Paul doesn't say, "You'll be a good servant of Christ Jesus if you're occasionally nourished on the words of the faith, or inconsistently nourished on the words of the faith." No, no. Constantly nourished. We need constant nourishment that comes by way of Bible intake. Constantly nourished by the Word and by the teaching of sound doctrine. Where do we find sound doctrine? In the Word. How do we know doctrine is sound? According to the Word. We should therefore, in my humble opinion, avail ourselves of every opportunity for the teaching of sound doctrine to impact our lives. Listen to me. If the Apostle Paul thought it was important for Timothy, I would say he thinks it's important for us as well. So avail ourselves of every opportunity. Bible study, home fellowship group, discipleship. Of course, daily time in the Word. All of the means of Bible intake. Hearing the Word, reading the Word, studying the Word, memorizing the Word, and meditating upon the Word. All five means of Bible intake should be something that we are daily striving for. And I know what you're thinking, "Pastor, you just don't know how busy my life is." Allie, you are right. If you have no time for God in your busy schedule, you are too busy. And that's two with two O's. We cannot thrive spiritually without being constantly nourished by the words of faith. It just won't happen. In fact, one of the things that they talked about at the Exalting Christ Conference was the attempt in biblical counseling to show the person you're counseling their need for the Word of God. In discipleship, in counseling, in teaching, we don't want them to be dependent upon us. We want them to be dependent upon God through His Word. We want to teach them how to use the Word of God to nourish themselves and make themselves stronger and grow into maturity. Jesus Himself made this point to his disciples in Matthew chapter 4, verse 4. Jesus answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on what? Every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." Right here. This is every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. It's right here. It's recorded for us. And we have it. How amazing is that? Most of us have more than one copy of it. Hopefully it's not sitting on a shelf collecting dust. It's once been said that if every Christian picked up their Bible, it would result in the greatest dust cloud in history. Do you want to know God? Do you want to love God? Do you want to please God? Do you want to serve God? If so, then you need to be constantly nourished by the Word of God. There's no substitute for that. None. Be nourished spiritually as often as you can. Make it a priority in your life. The third way that we are absolutely dependent upon God's Word is that we are sanctified by God's Word. Sanctified means to be set apart from sin to holiness. To be sanctified is to be set apart from sin unto holiness, unto righteousness. And 1 Thessalonians 4:3 tells us that this is God's will for each of us, our sanctification. That is the ongoing work of the Holy Spirit through the Word of God that will set us apart from sin and will cause us to grow in holiness without which no one will see the Lord. Jesus, in his high priestly prayer, prayed this for us. John 17:16-17. Jesus prayed these words to the Father. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them in the truth. Thy word is truth. So, what is the means that God uses to sanctify us? His word. If Jesus had just stopped at sanctify them in the truth, oh, I can just imagine what people would say that meant, right? They could make up all kinds of ideas. Oh, you know, that's your truth. This is my truth. You know, truth relative. Okay, but Jesus didn't leave it at that. He says what? Thy word is truth, and the truth shall set you free. Amen? Jesus prayed to the Father. Jesus is facing the cross. In a few hours, Jesus will be dead. This is his last recorded prayer for his disciples. And he prays, Father, sanctify them in the truth. Thy word is truth. Paul, writing to the Ephesians, tells us that Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word. Our salvation has been completely accomplished through Christ. He died for our sins and he rose again from the dead. But our sanctification is ongoing. This is an ongoing process until we see him face to face. We are his bride. We are the members of his church, and we, according to Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, we are to be continually being washed by the Word of God. It is the Word of God that will wash us of our own foolish thinking. It's the Word of God that will renew our minds from the ungodly thinking of this world. It is the Word of God that will brainwash us. And we need that. Listen to what Paul writes to the Romans, Romans 12:2. Paul writes, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. He starts off by telling us what not to be. Do not be conformed to this world. As long as we are on this earth, we are susceptible to the ungodly influences of this world. We are bombarded by it. Day in and day out. Every form of media you can imagine is bombarding us with the world's way of thinking, with human philosophies. And God warns us against that. Listen to this. Listen to what, this will not be on the screen. Listen to what Colossians 2:8 tells us. See to it that no one takes you captive. Now remember, Paul's writing to the church. He's not writing to unbelievers here. They're without hope. They're in the darkness. Okay? They have nothing but the world's way of thinking. But Paul writes to the church, see to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit, according to human traditions, according to the elemental principles of the world, not according to Christ. In other words, see to it that you are not taken captive by stinking thinking. Don't fall under the influence of the world's philosophies, the world's teachings, the way the unbelievers think. We were once like them, but we've been transferred from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God's beloved Son. So let's train ourselves to think according to Christ. Where do we find that? Word of God. It's the Word of God that renews our mind. It's the Word of God that washes us. It's the Word of God that is used by God to sanctify us. We need the Word of God to renew our mind. That is why we are dependent upon God's Word to accomplish our sanctification. Fourth, we are guided by God's Word. God, through His Word, not only reveals Himself to us, but He reveals His divine will for us. His Word should be our guide. I mentioned this morning in our Sunday school class. Psalms 119:105 tells us, Thy Word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. By the way, when was the last time you read Psalms 119? Now there is a good read, right? The entire psalm is about the Word of God and how important the Word of God is to us. And guess what? It's the longest psalm. In fact, it's the longest chapter in the Bible. And it's almost perfectly in the middle. You think God's telling us something there? Thy word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. The Word of God provides us with the divine illumination that allows us to walk through this sin-darkened world without stumbling. We need to walk according to His Word in order to live righteously in this fallen world. We must trust in His revealed will, not our own. The wisest man who ever lived, his name was Solomon. He writes this in Proverbs 3, 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him and He will make your paths straight. In order to trust in the Lord with all your heart, you must hide God's Word in your heart. And you must meditate upon it, Otherwise, you will try to live according to your own fallen way of thinking. Not just you, me, every one of us. Our default is stinking thinking. Our default is to do our own will. That's our default. That's why we need to be constantly nourished on the words of faith and transformed in our thinking. And we need to be looking for God to direct our paths, God to direct our decisions. And His Word is sufficient for that. Psalms 1, the very first psalm, the psalmist tells us how we should live if we want to enjoy God's blessings. Let me read the first three verses to you. Verses 2 and 3 will be on the screen. The psalmist starts the book of Psalms by writing these words. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by the streams of water that yields its fruit in its season. Its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. His delight is in the law of the Lord. That is shorthand for the Word of God. We are not to seek the counsel of the world. We are not to seek the counsel of unbelievers. We are to seek the counsel of God. And that's found in His Word. And we should, listen, we should find delight in the Word of God. You know, whenever we start doing something that we're not used to doing, there's always difficulties, right? There always is, no matter what it is. Okay? If I were to, for instance, decide, you know what, I need to get in better shape, so I'm going to go take a water aerobics class. Oh, that would be a sight to see. First of all, everybody in the class would have to wear sunglasses. Second of all, I don't think I'd last for very long. I remember trying to do water polo in high school. Yeah, just about drowned. And so water aerobics would probably be no easier for me. But if I persisted, I would get better at it. And if you persist long enough and you become proficient, then guess what? It becomes fun. There's a joy involved in it. Amen? Isn't that true for most things? The same is true for spending time in God's Word. Initially, we do it because God commands it of us. God desires it for us. And so we start off by saying, I'm tired. I don't really want to do this. But I need to. God help me. We open up the Word and we start reading. You know, we get done and we're like, oh, okay. But you know what? Persist in it. Pray for God to help you. God delights in us, delighting in Him. And so after a time, it becomes a delight. There's a joy in it. Trust me in this. I've been there, done that. We should find delight in God's Word, and we should hide it in our heart, and we should meditate upon it. That will result, as the psalmist writes, in spiritual fruit. It will result in a life that is pleasing to God and blessed by God, a life that will allow us to bring glory to God. And fifth, the fifth way that we are dependent upon God's Word is that we are protected by God's Word. The Word of God is our primary weapon in spiritual warfare. Let me say that again. The Word of God is our primary weapon in spiritual warfare. So we need to know God's Word. And we need to know how to use it. Somebody right before the service came and asked me about 2 Corinthians 10:3. Let's put that up on the board. 2 Corinthians 10:3 through 5. I just happened to be reading that the last couple of days, and so I had an answer for her. For though we walk or live in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but divinely powerful. We are destroying every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God. And it goes on to say, taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. Listen to me. You are involved in spiritual warfare. Whether you realize it or not, whether you like it or not. Once you became a follower of Christ, you became an enemy of Satan. And he will do everything in his power to keep us from glorifying Christ. The primary attack of our spiritual enemies, according to this passage, is against the knowledge of God. They don't want you to know God. They don't want you to know God better, and they certainly don't want you to help others know God. The better we know God, the more knowledge we have of His Word, the better we can resist the schemes of our enemy. Listen to me. Most of spiritual warfare takes place right here. This is the battleground between our two ears, since those on the recording can't see what I'm doing. That is why we are told to take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. How are we going to do that if we don't know what is according to the obedience of Christ? We only know that through the Word of God. The Word of God will help us to identify those thoughts that are not godly and to take them captive. Paul writes to the Ephesians chapter 6, put on the full armor of God that you may be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. He tells us we can, in the power of God, through the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit, and by knowing the Word, we can stand against the schemes of the devil. And we can. You know this is true. Because if you've been a Christian for very long at all, you have experienced victories. Again, through the power of the Spirit. He goes on to say, take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. The Word of God is what Jesus used when he was tempted by Satan. He didn't use a different weapon. He used the Word of God. And that is exactly what we need as well. As long as we are in these mortal bodies, as long as we are in this sin-cursed world, we must be prepared to stand firm against our enemies and against our own propensity to sin. And the more we struggle against sin, the more we need the Word of God hidden in our heart that we might not sin against Him. When I was not trying to deal with sin in my life, the enemy was pleased. In fact, pretty much left me alone to my own devices. But as soon as I began to fight against sin in my life, That's when the enemy comes in. He does not want us to be victorious. And that's why the psalmist tells us we must hide God's word in our heart so that we might not sin against God. So, we are saved by God's word, we are nourished by God's word, we are sanctified by God's word, we are guided by God's word, and we are protected by God's word. We are utterly dependent upon the word of God for those five things. But only if we are doers of the word and not hearers only. James writes these words that we should know very well in James chapter 1, verses 21 through 25. Let me read that to you. Therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone's a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror, for he looks at himself and then he goes away and at once forgets what he was like. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. All of us in this room have been hearers of the Word of God today. You have heard the very Word of God today. But are you going to be a doer of that Word? Most of us, if not all of us, desire God's blessings. We desire God to bless us. In fact, many of us probably pray for God to bless us in what we do. Here, God tells us the key to His blessings. Be doers of the Word. Live according to His Word. Hide God's word in your heart and then live according to His word. And this we can do by the power of God who indwells us. It is God who is at work within us both to will and to do according to His good pleasure. My hope and my prayer is that you would realize your need for God's word and you would do whatever it takes to spend more time with God in His Word. Because we are saved by God's Word, we are nourished by God's Word, we are sanctified by God's Word, we are guided by God's Word, protected by God's Word, and we are called to be doers of the Word. The Word of God is one of those normal means of grace that God has provided so that we can be equipped, so that we can glorify Christ in our lives. And my desire for you is that you would be filled with the Word of God and that you would rejoice in the time that you can spend both talking to your Heavenly Father and hearing from your Heavenly Father. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank You for this opportunity for us to be reminded of something that is very basic, that You have spoken to us, and that it is Your desire, Father God, for us to hear Your words, for they are words of life. I pray, Father, that You would help each and every one of us to look at our own lives and to see how we can utilize this means of grace that You've given us, that we might be nourished, that we might grow to maturity, that we might be equipped so that we can live lives that please and glorify you, and we can do the work of the ministry that you've called us to. In all of this, Father God, ultimately the desire is that you would be glorified in our lives, in our ministries. And we know, Father God, that we are dependent upon your word for that to happen. That is the way you designed it. That's the way you planned it, so that you would receive all the glory. Help us in this, we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen.